laugh all thoughts, I'll shout, I'll sing. Hallelujah, man, to the King of Kings. Set free to magnify the Lord. Set free. I am the pastor's going to set free.
Set free. Some of us are. Some of us need to loosen. But he's a lucky Jack Coe's not here. He told a woman one night, he says, I want to see you walking down there straight, no more limping. And if you limp, I'm going to chase you all over the tent. Praise God, but it's good. He believed it. He actually believed it, didn't he? Praise God. Isn't the Lord good tonight? Praise God. We're going to turn to the Epistle of John this evening. Praise God. And just a couple of announcements this evening as well. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7 till 11. Chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. Just to say, Brother Brian Freeborn arrives on Wednesday, the 31st of May. So that's the end of this month. We're going to have services on the 2nd of June, the 3rd of June, and then two services on the 4th of June. So that'll be a Friday night, Saturday night, two services on the Sunday. So remember that weekend, the first weekend in June. May, June. So it's just 4 weeks away. We're going to lift an offering as well, a love offering for a brother. He's coming a long ways. I'll give everyone a month to, if you want to put someone aside or whatever way the Lord leads you. But we want to bless our brother whatever way we can. He was really good to us when we went. He spoiled us, fellas. Made us a breakfast every morning. Got two eggs and bacon and bread every single morning with porridge one morning. Praise God, it was great. But let's pray for brother as he comes. And Sister Deborah, that's Brian's daughter, is coming as well. She's staying with you, Brother Gary. So we want to just bless them as much as we can when they come. They've been a blessing. You know, when Brian first came, What age are you, brother? 12. Maybe. How old's Isaac? 12. Because why I'll never forget it is it was snowing. And Bobby's BMW stuck on the hill. We were way out at the schoolhouse, Tonicmore Schoolhouse. But I'm going to tell you a wee thing, you know. Everybody come to church that night. There was hardly a person missed service. And the roads were blocked with snow. And people still got to church. That's the truth. People had a desire to come to church. Now if somebody sneezes wrong, people can't come to church. Now, I'm not making apologies for saying this. I'm telling you the truth. If it's a birthday, everybody has to miss church for somebody's birthday. So what? I couldn't care many birthdays. What difference is it going to make? We need to come to the house of the Lord. Amen. The Lord's coming. Amen. Either we believe it or we're just pretending. But people had sailed to come. And they came and there was snowing on the ground. And Gary was only a young fella and Samuel as well. And Brian was young then as well. But the time flies along. That's a long time ago. It was early 90s when I met Brother Brian. And he stayed with me in Sharon. When we lived up Brook Grove, he stayed up there. So he's been a blessing every time he's came. He doesn't bring any strange doctrines or anything. He preaches the truth. And we enjoy it every time he comes. And Brother Hard as well was a real blessing. When Hard came, and we just appreciate them, brothers. Pray for these meetings. So it's the first weekend in June. But we won't have a service the Wednesday night prior to that. But we'll have the Friday night, Saturday night. The whole mall's booked here for it. And we'll start at 7:30, half 7 maybe. I'll give people a chance to work on 7:30 both nights. And let's come in. Let's be under expectation. And I know it's hard to get people in. It's hard to get the sinner in when you can't get the saints in. When you can't get the Christians in, it's an awful job getting the sinner in. And it's worldwide. It's worldwide. There's a dearth in the land. And there's a famine in the land for the hearing of the Word of God. Or aren't you glad that you have the Word of God tonight? Let's read 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 till 11. The Lord bless each one. And my mom was telling me she was listening in King Charles. And he took the oath for the Protestant faith, the one true faith. Took the oath for it. So praise God for that. And hopefully he'll stick to his guns. But we need to pray for him. It's good to pray for the king, isn't it? Amen. Amen. It's good to pray for the king and pray for Israel as well. They're trying to make rules over there. And you know the Bible says all that say they're Israel are not Israel. But there's a real Israel. And all that say they're Jews are not Jews, but there's real Jews. Yes. And all that say they're Christians are not Christians, but there's real Christians. So don't worry about the fake. Whether you've got the real. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that he might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let's bow our heads this evening. If you have a need of prayer, just lift your hand up before the Lord tonight. Praise God. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the love of God. And we bless you this evening, Lord Jesus. We've come again and we've gathered in your name. And you've promised for two or three of us meet in your name. You will be in the midst and not to bless us. Lord, there's others that should have been here tonight. But Lord, I can't do anything about that. But I pray you'll move on your own people. Stir them. Oh God, move them, I pray. We need a move from you. A real move in our own selves. And upon those that claim your name. Move on them. Give them a real shake, Lord, and bring them to where they're wakened up from the sleep. For we're living in an hour of slumber. And like the book was written and that was saying, that pilgrim progress, for they fell asleep on the journey. Lord, may you waken us tonight. And may we not sleep on the journey. But may we be like you said. May we work while it is day. Help us to be like Jesus. Help us to do what Jesus would do. And you taught us to pray often and to work while it's day. Father, bless the hands that's raised in this house tonight. Meet every need, I pray. Lord, touch every heart and every life. Help the Lord and help your people lift the apathy and give us a spirit of revival and the fear of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray as your servant, Brother Freeborn, prepares to come, that you'll mightily use him and bless him and be with him. And God, that it might be a stirring, even in our own meetings, that the power of God will move. And Lord, you'll draw us closer to your own self. Fill us again, Lord, with the Holy Ghost. I take the Holy Spirit to help me right now. And I'm asking you, if you will, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. It's maybe seated. Praise God. You know, I'm thinking really what maybe on a Wednesday night we need to preach with the Holy Spirit and then pray for it. Really every week for a good lot of weeks until we get more of the Holy Ghost. We need a stir. And it's everywhere's the same. And you go across the world and it's the same there as well. And churches on a Sunday night are empty. Big churches. One church, the pastor told me, he's over 120 attends, and Sunday evening 15 come. I tell you, how's that been ready for the coming of the Lord? The Bible says we're to gather often as we see the day approaching. May the Lord help us to have some zeal for him. I believe, a brother prayed it the other night, if you love your father or your mother or anything more than the Lord, well, then you're not even worthy to be called a disciple. Jesus must be first. Amen. How many believes that in this church tonight? The Lord must be first love. That's what the Bible says. Many lost their first love. But the Lord loves you. And he loves me. In spite of what we do, he still loves us. And he wants us to love him back. You know, do you ever love somebody, love them, and there's no love in return? It's hard, isn't it? But when you get a wee bit of loving back, it's easier, isn't it? Praise God. God is love. What is really meant by saying God is love, love is the very nature of God. That's God's nature's love. God is love. God's love was manifested to us in the form of propitiation, and that means the atoning sacrifice and the satisfying offering. It appeased a holy God. Me and you could never appease a holy God. No prophet could appease a holy God. But only the person of the Lord Jesus Christ appeased the holy God. And he made propitiation for every one of us. And God was satisfied with it. And we have an open door now that we can come because of it. All these requirements, God, you see, required justice. Judgment for justice against sin and the wrath of God. And Christ done all that on the cross. He fulfilled it all on the cross. I want to tell you about the love of God, and I'm preaching again about the love of God tonight. It is immutable. The love of God is immutable. Praise God. James 1:17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadowing of turning. No variableness, neither shadow of turning. So his love knows neither change nor reduction. No change or no reduction. And let me tell you tonight about the gifts of God. When God gives a man a real gift, he always has it. I hear the man preaching one night, and he said, oh boy, if you don't do it, God will, he'll more or less, he'll be set in the shelf type of thing, and he'll pick somebody else to do it. I don't believe that. I'm sorry. If God calls a man to do it, God will make him do it. Who believes that? Well, I'll tell you what, Jonah's a perfect example. He wasn't going to do it, but he ended up doing it. Because God certainly worked out for him. But the gifts of God are about repentance. When God gives you a gift, brother or sister, you still have the gift. But you just maybe need to stir up the gift that is within thee. God's immutable. So his love knows neither change nor reduction. The worm Jacob supplies a forceful example of it. Jacob have I loved, declared Jehovah. And despite all his unbelief and waywardness, he never ceased to love Jacob.
Amen.
And Jacob didn't deserve his love, and he was a twister. And you want to hear some of the things William Branham calls him. I wouldn't even say some of them, but they were all true. He was all of it and more. Just like Peter as well. Peter wasn't a great lad. Now don't tell me Peter was this great fella, because he was not. But God changed him, and he become great because of the Lord.
Amen.
But he was a real rascal. Cursed the Lord, denied the Lord, done all the things. But God knew he'd do all of it. That's the thing about it. But God brought him to where he was to be. And we saw here on Wednesday night, James was killed, but Peter wasn't. Now, Peter could have been killed just the same as James, but the angel came into the jail and he tapped him on the side and he said, Peter, get up. I'm getting you out of here. But he didn't bring James out. James was killed. But Peter wasn't killed because Jesus had a work for Peter. And nobody else could do the work that Peter was called to do. Peter had to do it.
Hallelujah.
And I tell you, there's an awful lot of nonsense preached today in places. And you know the preachers well. You know the spirit of Jack Coe's available, or the spirit of William Branham's available. Or there's some. I don't want any of it. I'll tell you that right now.
Amen.
I want the spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Why would God give me some other man? I don't want it. God, that them man was unique. You don't need some other man. You need the Lord. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do about it? Amen. And I tell you, Peter, we could look at all the downsides of Peter, but then you see, don't forget the Lord prayed for him. The Lord prayed for him. And that made the difference. That's the thing, because he loved him. He loved Peter when he denied him. He loved Peter when he cursed him. He loved Peter when the rooster crowed. He still loved him. And when they said, are you with him? And he said, no, I'm not with him. He still loved him. And then he meets him and he says, Peter, do you love me? Didn't he ask them? And didn't he say to them, Peter, feed my sheep? And he only said, Peter, when you're converted, you will strengthen my brethren. And Peter is the man, when the day of Pentecost has fully come, that the Spirit of God mightily moved on. Peter is the man. When you read Acts 2:38, Peter's the man.
Amen.
And he preached a red hot sermon and many were converted to the Lord. And when he came up to the gate called Beautiful, Peter and John went to pray and they met a lame man on the way. They raised him up and he was healed by the power of God. A man after God's own heart. God changed him because the Lord loved him. So I tell you, the devil might be telling you tonight, oh, but brother, your brownie points are low. But the thing is, the Lord's are very high. Oh, that's what he'll tell you. He'll tell you you didn't do this, you didn't do something else. And Peter didn't do a whole lot of things either, but the Lord still used him. Amen. And the Lord can use you. God can use you. God can send a man around the world for one soul. That's the God we serve. John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He loved them. And he said, not only do I pray for these that's with me, but I pray for those that will believe on me because of you. And he's talking to the disciples. And none have I lost, O Father, that thou hast given me. That's the words of the Lord. He says, I've lost none. Amen. People think about you lost this or that, and the Lord won't lose a one. You know, one time William Mullen had meeting somewhere, I don't know where it was, and there's a lot of people got saved. But there's a fella, he had made the profession, as they say, to getting saved, and then the next week he was drunk. And this man pulled Willie Mullen into the side, and he says, Brother Mullen, I've seen one of your conversions there, down at whatever bar he was at, drunk. And you know, Willie Mullen said, praise God. And he says, what do you mean, praise God? He says, well, isn't it a good job he was one of mine? For if he had been one of the Lord's, he would never have been down there. And that's the thing you can have, a man-made conversion. That's all you'll have, a proselyte. But if you ever get them to Jesus and they really get born again, you'll not have to carry them to church. They'll be fit to come on their own 2 feet. I'll tell you that now. You won't need to visit them every night. Like a wee incubator chicken in some sort of a wee incubator. You had to watch the temperature on them. For if it moves a bit, you come in the next morning, they'll be all dead. But there's nothing like the real natural thing, where they're brooded under nature. And the mother puts her arms, wings over them, and she nurses them, and she loves them. And the follower, and the hearer cluck, and they go after her. And when she rises, they rise. And when she goes out, they go out. And when she comes in, they come in. And the Bible says that we're to mount up with wings as an eagle. And he says he's gathered us like a hen gathered our brood. The Lord has gathered his people. But they would not. They would not. And there's a lot of people today that will not come. But they're going to have no excuse. But aren't you glad you're here tonight? Aren't you glad you're saved tonight? Aren't you glad you're serving the Lord tonight? And the Lord loves you. And I tell you, don't worry about disappointments, and don't you worry about whether you had a good week or a bad week or anything about it. The Lord loves you. Go forward with the Lord and go on with the things of God. The scripture gives us this beautiful illustration that the very night one of the apostles would say, "Show us the Father." Another would deny him with cursings. That's Peter. And all of them would be scandalized by them and forsake him. Nevertheless, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And even though Peter done all that, the Lord still loved him. And even though Peter done all that, the Lord changed him eventually. He knew his future. Peter didn't even know himself. What do you think of that? I'll guarantee you, the night that Peter cursed the Lord, I'll guarantee you the night that Peter heard the roosters crowing, that Peter never would have thought he'd be standing in an upper room and the fire of God would fall on him. But God had plans that Peter didn't know about. And yet Peter was part of them and he didn't even know about them. And God has plans for you that you don't even know about. But the Lord's big plans for you. What do you think of that? And I tell you, God's plans will come to pass. God always has a plan. He's a master builder. Oh, yes. He's a master builder. When the devil came into the Garden of Eden and tried to wipe out everything and sowed his seed, God had still a plan. And God had still a way. And he said, "The seed of the woman shall bruise his head." Hallelujah. He prophesied at Calvary and the cross, where there would come a pure blood stream that would cleanse everyone that would come. Even though your flesh is corrupted and your blood is corrupted, there would come a pure blood stream from heaven that would cleanse every man and every woman. An antidote like no other antidote that would be 100% successful. That's the antidote of the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses me and you from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Thank God for the power of the blood. Oh, I tell you, there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Divine love. It's subject to no change. The Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6 to 7. "Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death, jealousy cruel as a grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which have a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contempt." Love. And I tell you, we have a love tonight that nothing, no devil can change it. No devil can alter it. No demon can change it. No demon can alter it. It is a scriptural fact that God loves you. It is a scriptural fact that he sent a son to die for you on the cross. Because he loves you, brother. He loves you, sister. And it's a scriptural fact he's coming for you. He's coming for you. And Jesus himself said in John 14, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also." Aren't you glad he's coming again? Romans 8, 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, and all these things are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This love's not in the church. It's not down to the pastor, the deacon, or the elder. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's unchanging. Unchanging. Not even death can separate us from this love. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, we're going to see all our loved ones again. We're going to see them again. I tell you, when we get over on the other side, we'll not be worrying about all the frailments in these bodies. And as you get older, you'll have all the frailments. There'll be things in your body you don't like. Not one thing you can do about it. I'd love to have a head of hair like one of these young fellas, but I don't have it. But I have it somewhere. It's somewhere. And I'm going to meet up with it again somewhere. Because the Lord's going to give me it back, because he said the hairs of your head's numbered. And we're going to be changed. There'll not be one gray hair in heaven. There'll be no wrinkles, pains, or aches, or nothing like that. You'll be absolutely like the Lord in the glory with the Lord. And there'll be no such thing as aging. No such thing as aging. And you won't say, boy, them 10 years went quick. You won't even think like that or anything. 1,000 years will be as a day. Hallelujah. We're going. We're leaving here. Oh, praise God. It's holy. God's love is holy. I want to tell you, it's holy tonight. God's love is holy. God's love is not relegated by change of passion or sentiment, but by principle, just as his grace reigns, not as expense of it, but through righteousness. Through righteousness. It's because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ we're saved. Let me give you this here fact from the Bible tonight. We have no righteousness of our own. But Romans 4 tells us that Jesus Christ does not impute to us our sin, but he imputes to us his righteousness. That means he takes his holiness, his righteousness, and he says, here you are. So when you meet the devil tomorrow and he says you're not very good, you can say to him, I know, but here, look what I've got with me. Amen. I've got the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and a wee tiny bit of it is more than enough for you, young devil. So get on back out of the road, hit him a good kick. The Lord's righteousness is more than enough for to defeat the devil. You have it. Have you come through the blood? You're clean, you're pure, you're white. Whiter than the driven snow. And you've got the righteousness of the Lord tonight. You've come under the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:21. Not as sin have reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So sin reigned, but grace reigned, and grace conquered sin. Grace is greater than sin. And because of the grace of God, we can have the righteousness of God imparted. Romans 5 says, for scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. He died for you, and he died for me, and he's given us his grace and his righteousness. So his love neither conflicts with his holiness. God is light. God is light. It's mentioned before, God is love. He's light and he's love. 1 John 1 verse 5. This then is the message. Somebody said that doesn't say the message in the Bible. Well, it says it here in 1 John 1 and 5. But it doesn't mean it the way some people say it. Sure doesn't. I've come into the message. I've come into Christ. Amen, you should be saying. That's what you need to come into. And when you come into Christ, you've got the message. Yes. Here's the message. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Amen. He's all light and he's all love. Did you get that? Look at verse 8 of 1 John chapter 4. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And there is love in you tonight. Oh yeah, I didn't realize that, but the Bible says there is. There's love in you. There's love in you. Because the Bible says there's love in you. Aren't you glad there's love in you tonight? God is love. Not a weakness or a softness, but it's God's love. Hebrews 12 verse 6. From whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. This love is corrective. This love won't sign a piece of paper that says him or her in the sense of what they're using today. No, it's Mr. or Miss. She and he is in the Bible. But a he-male and a she-male's not. They're not in it. God never made Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve. And there's so much nonsense in the world today. I'm identifying today as a female. Did you hear that recently for the boy? He was a white man, brother. A white man. A big lump of a man. And he said, I'm identifying today as a black female. And he was a big white man. Now, years ago, your grandfather would have took the side of his hand and he'd have clipped his 2 ears. That's the truth of it. To bring him to the senses, for he would need it to bring him round. That's what he would have done, man. And that's called real love. That's what the Bible calls corrective love. Spare the rod and spoil the child. That's the love of God. Just like if a wee fella's going to run out in front of a car, you wouldn't sit back and say, well, he's 6 now, he can do what he wants. You would say, that wee lad doesn't realize the speed that car's going and that it'll hit him in a moment, and you'd race to get him and you'd race to save him and you'd pull him off the road any way you could if you loved him. That's love. Love's not letting them bully the school teachers and do them whatever they want and identifying as a cat or a dog. A vermin. The Bible says clearly, and let me give you this tonight, God has given us total authority as humans over the animals in this earth. Now, that doesn't mean to say we're cruel to them, but we've authority over them, and an animal has no soul. But you have a soul, and every soul is precious in the eyes of the Lord. And Christ died to save your soul on the cross. But I tell you, the one that brainwashes today in this modern world we're living in, this is Satan's Eden, by the way. And we know that the God of this evil age is running about seeking whom he may devour. And he was never known as a God of any other age, but he is the God of this evil age. But thank God Jesus Christ is coming for us. He's coming. We're leaving. We're getting out. This is gracious. His love's gracious. Let me tell you, his love gracious, the love and favor of God is inseparable. It is clearly brought out in Romans here. Let me read you Romans again, chapter 8, verse 32 onwards. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. I'll tell you, look what it says in verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Praise God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Then he gives you the examples. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, and all these things were more than conquerors through him that loved us. How are you a conqueror? Because you're doing it through him. You're doing it through the Lord. Now, we can't go and do it of ourselves. We're doing it through the Lord. And the Lord's the one that helps us. Praise God. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. So that's the things coming along down the road that me and you can't see yet. Don't even worry about them. Why will they not, brother? Because Jesus says, give no thought for tomorrow. Did he say it? He says, tomorrow, think enough for herself. Isn't that right? Be content with such things as you have. Maybe some of us are guilty. Maybe sometimes we think we could do with a bit more or something, but we're all right with what we've got. A lot of people's like that many times, but the Bible says, be content with such things as you have. Think of how the Lord's already blessed you. Nor height, nor death, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. It is the good will and grace of God which determined him to give a son for sinners. That love was impulsive power. When Christ came, the love came. That's God's love. John 3:16. That's the love of God. And I'm closing tonight. I'm not finished, but I'm going to come to close. The Lord bless you this evening. You know, there's so much in this world going on. So much wickedness and evil and sin. But you know, the Lord wants us to have love for one another. Then when you see the wee man or the wee woman, and maybe they're not measuring up, if you were to throw the tape on them, you could see a fault. It's not the truth, but if they threw one back and maybe us, they could see a fault too. But we're to have a wee bit of grace. Now the old boy says, I'm not what I want to be, but I'm not what I was. I'm not what he used to be. It's not what. Can you say that tonight? Thank the Lord. Let's stand our feet this evening and praise God. And the Lord bless you for listening tonight. You know, when they go to schools and different places, you young people, let me say this. There's so many today, and they're not ashamed to identify something that we know's wrong. Isn't that right? And they want to change things on the ladies' toilet door and the men. You know what I'm talking about. We should then, as Christians, identify with Christ. And we should not be ashamed to say, hey boy, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe in tongues. I believe in divine healing. I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian. The Lord's changed me. I met the Lord, you know. We should be fit to identify with. Identify with Holy Ghost believers. Identify with it. We believe in the power of God. Don't be afraid to identify what you are. Amen. Fella said to me at work, he's Polish, and he says, Pastor, and he's trying to understand. He doesn't know much English. He's wanting to know all about what's it mean. And I'm trying to tell him his English is limited. And I've told him, come along. I'm going to have to get some Polish literature, tracts or something, brother. I'm going to have to get a hold of some of them. Start giving them out. Somebody says you might get sacked. I couldn't care less, tell you the truth. That's the way I'm honest about it. Working a job one time years ago, and the fella turned me, says you'll be sacked. Continue like this. You know what I told him? I said, you see the office? Go up to it now and get my P45, for I'm not changing. And when the first payoffs came, they gave me the road. They gave me the sack. But I couldn't have cared less. I felt to do it. I felt led to do it. I came home that Friday and we'd just gotten the house. Me and Sharon was long married. And the door opened that evening and a fella come to the door and he says, can you start on Monday? Twice the wages. God won't let you down. Don't you let him down. Amen. You might go through a trial. You might have a season of trial. Don't faint. Amen. Don't faint. Amen. After you've did the will of God, don't faint. For there's a reward coming. Amen. Believe God. Let's bow our heads tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you tonight for your love. Lord, we bless you for your love and we identify with you. We say we want to be identified with you on the cross. We want to be identified with you in the upper room. We want to be identified with you in your power, in the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and the working of miracles. And Father, I pray this evening that you'll stretch your arm forth in this very house with signs and wonders and miracles. In the name of thy holy child, Jesus. I pray for those that need, Lord, answer the prayer and maybe financial or work or anything. Lord, I pray you'll answer and you'll Just bless them and undertake for them. We pray again for King Charles tonight that you will indeed save him. In Jesus' precious name, we ask you for your own people, Israel. Bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. And we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. I'll leave this wee note here, and then a brother can keep it as well if he wants. Leave it underneath just to keep us noted for these meetings. I'll forget. Anyhow, I have to get the wife read it out. Too many birthdays. You know, my dad had a great memory. My dad had a better memory than I have. But I remember he went to preach for George Quinn, and George said to me a few months later, he says, Brother Tom, I've got your dad's notes. He left his notes when he was here. And it was about the size of a postage stamp. That was my dad's notes. And he could go into church history and tell you all about it for an hour and go into the fields and everything, because he just knew it. He remembered it. He had a great memory. And you know, maybe everybody's not like that, but I tell you, when the Lord gives you something, write it down.
That's right.
Write it down.
That's right.
If you have a dream and you believe it's after the Lord, you should write it down. If you have an experience, write it down. Why would I do that, brother? Because the Bible says, tell your children and your children's children the things the Lord done. If you have a real testimony, it'll stand the test of time. And you don't know who it'll bless and who it'll touch. Well, the devil, he'll tell you, no, there's no point. But he's a liar. He's a liar. Come ahead, brother, and we'll be here Wednesday night, the Lord willing. Sunday morning, pray your brother Larry's going to be preaching. Pray the Lord will give our brother strength. Bless him. The Lord bless each one.
I was just thinking there, as Tommy was saying, about giving her brother strength, Brother Laurie. There was one time in William Branham's ministry, he was only starting out and he'd been away fishing, and he got into a car and he was sleeping over, and got to this meeting. We're having like a revival and they're inviting different people to preach, but there was an old man got up and he was well in his 80s, and he said once he got to the pulpit, the anointing hit him, he skipped about and clicked his heels. So he did. So that's what he can do. He made him young. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. I remember the morning, it was over in Tán Rigi when the Holy Ghost fell in our meeting. Remember Brother Billy had the bad hip and he was limping, and when he got up there wasn't a limp. He moved about fluently. Praise God when the anointing come. Praise God. But that's what the anointing can do. Praise God. Can we sing that hymn? When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Praise God. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more.
Mm-hmm.